Hey, greetings. This is Brother Jim, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Having a glorious day today. Had an awesome day today. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. But first, our topic, the humble, not the proud, overcome and are lifted up. Yeah, let's talk about this. Sister Debbie and I got to minister to a man today. We met him. He's a fellow van dweller. Has a lot of heavy demonic influence in his life. We studied with him, we got to share a meal with him, and we discussed in depth how to be set free from trials, from demonic attacks, and a scripture came up to us, and we went over it, and I think we all can learn from it. Let's talk about it, can we? James 4, 6 through 10, we're going to go over. Let's start with the first verse. But he giveth more grace. Well, grace, there's that word. Everybody loves that word, grace. A lot of people think grace is, you know, we're saved by grace. God overlooks our sin because of what Christ has done if we'll repent and turn from it. But actually, grace is also a great help. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So God's grace also gives us help. So let's continue. So it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Let's talk about this. The proud. The Greek word is huperaphanos. It means appearing above others, haughty, showing oneself above others, overtopping, conspicuously above, wanting to be preeminent. Yeah, that's what proud is. That's something that God frowns upon. We'll talk about that. Humble in the Greek is tapenois. It means to be based down, humble, low, lowly, not rising above, lowly of degree, lowly of heart, low in grief, low in spirit, to be humble. Two opposites, right? Pride, lift myself way up. Humble, I want to be a lowly servant for God and for people. That's where God's heart is at. That's what we want to strive for. So that verse is telling us that God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. This is going to help us overcome, all right? So here's where we really have to think about, all of us that seek after Christ. I'm speaking to born-again saints. Are we really this low and this humble before God when we need him in great times of trouble, whether it's demonic stress, attacks, stress, trials in life, sickness, whatever? Question, could much of men's trials and our trials all be issues because we're not humbling ourselves lowly before God as we really should be? And we can't overcome, we don't have the grace to overcome because we're not humbling ourselves. Could it be that? God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. You know, America and most of the free nations I know about are very pride-filled. Oh, they love their freedom. They think they're all that. Great patriotism, pride. Yeah, patriotism in your country is pride. God hates that. Let's keep going. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Here we go. The humble submit themselves to God. What does submitting ourselves to God mean? It means to yield to God's superior ways and authority. Pretty simple, right? Now this would be totally obeying God's word, right? Doesn't that make sense? Obeying God's word, keeping his commandments, walking in his ways and his ordinances, striving for holiness, coming out of the world and false man-made religion, that's submitting yourself to God. If you do things your own way, if you keep bad, false practices, sinful practices, that's pride, that's arrogance, that's not submitting to God, right? So we have to cleanse our life from all of those things and submit ourselves to God. So we can't be proud, we must be humble, we must submit to God. That means put everything in our life under the headship of Christ, obeying it all. If we keep sin, we keep false ways, we're not submitting ourselves to God, are we? No, not at all. Next it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble, right? He tells us, submit ourselves to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does resist mean? Resist is the Greek word is anthestemi. It is to stand against, to oppose, to resist, to withstand. Now, we're supposed to withstand the enemy so that we can overcome humbly by submitting ourselves to God, right? That's what we're learning here. Could it be if we live out our faith and we live too close to this world that Satan has developed, politics, movies, sports, entertainment, false man-made religion, could that not be that we are not resisting the devil at all? Something to consider. Who's the god of this world? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan is the god of this world. So we must resist the world if we're going to resist Satan. Amen. Jesus said his saints, his sheep, are not of the world. So we got to not be proud. We got to be humble. We got to submit to God. We got to resist the devil. We got to come out of the world if we're going to overcome. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. This is awesome. Consider this. When we're in sin and rebellion, God's not chasing us all over. Nope. But if we will repent and draw near to him, he'll meet us. Isn't that awesome? Go read about the prodigal son in Luke 15. The prodigal left, the father didn't chase him, but when the father saw him coming, the father ran and met him halfway. That is what this is talking about. Isn't that glorious? If we'll repent and return to God or come to God, he will meet us halfway. What a glorious thing. Do away with the pride. Do seek after humbleness. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Next verse says this, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Here we see sin is an issue that leaves us open for pride. If we're sinning against God, we think we know better, right? We're proud. We're proud and prideful. Then Satan comes in and he attacks in those weak areas. Roaring lions, 1 Peter 5, always attack the weakest parts, don't they? The weakest animal in the herd. Now, if we don't leave sin, again, we're showing that we're proud against God. So we have to repent and turn from sin. Now, how do we purify our hearts? This is a good one. How do we purify our hearts? Well, by repentance, of course, new life, we're talking about the gospel here, and a washing of the word, the Bible says, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We wash ourselves in the word of God. This is how we cleanse ourselves. Helps us to overcome, keeps us humble, helps us submit to God, helps us resist the devil. Amen? Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now consider this, will you folks? In the Old Testament, when people were broken, when people were sad, all right, when people had all types of grief, sin, whatever was going on in their life, when they needed a touch from God, okay, when they needed that, they had a heaviness, they had a brokenness of heart, and they were affected by it all deeply. They didn't just go on with their life like everything was just going on. They were affected by it. You know, it's where you get sackcloth and ashes from. People would mourn. It was affecting them. Something to consider. Is that how we act today in the New Testament? Or do we have problems and then just think God's going to fix them and we're not affected by it all that much in our everyday life, in our spirit, in our nature, in our countenance and how we are before God? Even in the New Testament, God sees this brokenness as a good thing, okay? When we're broken, we're brought low by our sin, our trials, and our issues. And this helps us to draw near to God. We should allow ourselves to be broken be brought to this place, all right, where then God can lift us up as we're drawing near to God. We're humbly coming. We're resisting the devil. We're submitting to God. Now, to live in a constant place of always joy and happiness, this is not what we see in the New Testament. That wasn't with Paul. That wasn't with the disciples. It wasn't with Jesus. All right? Now, we can have that inner peace inside of us. Yeah, no doubt. We always have that inner peace. All right? But to not be affected by our surroundings, our sin that we might fall into, seeing our friends or families choosing sin and choosing damnation, this should grieve us. This should affect us very deeply. Now, Sister Debbie and I, being out here in the world, every day thriving in ministry, it's a huge weight to carry, and it grieves us. It's easy to be broken when you see so much destruction and sin and Satan ruling people's lives. It's very hard. It would be impossible to be out here and be all smiles all the time. As you know, people are headed for God's wrath. No. No, that would be pride. Hey, I'm better than them. They're all going to hell. No, no, no. We need to be lowly. We need to be broken. We need to be crying out to God in our spirits. So again, we feel a lot of brokenness out here. It's a heavy weight. Now, here's what I want to share with you. I used to fight that. And I used to think, I got to be happy all the time. I can't let all this affect me. I can't be brought low by this. But you know what? I've learned the opposite. It's okay for Brother Jim to feel broken when he's out here. And grief and sorrow and mourn and shed tears. I cried with a man the other day on the phone over an issue. It's okay to be that way. Because when we're lowly, when we submit ourselves to God, when we're broken and contrite, then God can lift us up, give us that inner peace, bring it out in us, begin to help us in our walk, lay our burdens all upon Him. It's a great place to be, folks, relying on God in your humbleness, your brokenness, and your contrite heart, not pride. Oh no, not pride. And then we have this promise to finish this out. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. There's that word humble again. If we'll lower ourselves, if we'll be humble, and we see what a great need we have in God, and we're broken over our sin, other people's sin, He will act. He will lift us up. He will bring that inner joy to the outside of us. He'll heal us. He'll mend us. He'll make us stronger. But if we're proud, yeah, we can't do it on our own. He'll reject us. It's sin to be proud. It's an abomination unto God. Think about that. Yeah. Go read Proverbs 6. All you men or women out there that are always saying, sodomy is an abomination. Well, it is an abomination, but so is a man's unwillingness to obey God fully in all their life and repent of their sin, their false man-made religion, and their worldly ways. That too is abomination unto God. We'll read a verse on that. To not fully submit to God in all of His ways is a huge problem. It brings pride and arrogance. It does not prove you to be lowly. If you're relying on religious acts, okay? If you're relying on your own ability, you're not relying on God. You're not lowly, all right? People walking around saying, I got salvation all locked up. They're basing it on what their pastor tells them or what they hear in sermons from some false teacher. You're not humble. You're not lowly. You don't have a servant's heart. You're not seeking righteousness in all your ways. You're an abomination unto God. Because of your pride. And what do we know? Pride cometh before the fall. Go ask old Lucifer about that. I hope this will help you and I consider how we're commanded to overcome trials and Satan in this life. A humble, broken spirit, seeking, submitting to God, resisting the devil, coming out of the world, repenting of all sin, not prideful, not doing our own ways, not expecting God to still cover us even though we keep sin and rebellion. Oh no, he will not lift you up then. He'll cast you down. Last verses for you. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. And Proverbs 16:19. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Does that not tell you how God feels about pride versus humility and lowness? Humble yourselves, ye saints, all you saints of God. Seek him while there is time, will you? Don't be prideful. Don't be arrogant. Go read James 4, 6 through 10. Ponder on that. It's got some great stuff in there for us. Do away with pride. Seek humility. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Come out of the world. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. And he will lift you up. He will make you whole. He'll keep you relying on him. And in our weakness, God can become strong through us. What a glorious thing. Hey, this has been Brother Jim. I hope that helps you. That has helped me. I need to keep striving and working on that. It's okay to be broken. It's okay to be mourning. Hold on to your inner peace. Cry out to God, as I told this man. Stand and resist the world and Satan and your flesh. And in time, you will overcome. Praise God. Jesus Christ has overcome the world for us. Hey, we love you all. Go to don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, pouring out teachings every day to edify the saints and to glorify our King. Till next time, let me know I can help you in the faith. May God be praised.